I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, this is the Soul Sisters podcast for Billboard. It's another snowy day at the Chord Club, but luckily we are joined by the desert rock band Escondido, who will keep us warm today. Frontwoman Jessica Maros is our Soul Sister this episode, as she tells us about how she went from a first-generation Slovakian upbringing in Vancouver to become one of the most exciting new artists in the Nashville scene today. She founded her band Escondido just a few years ago, and they already just put out their second album this winter called Walking with a Stranger. After our conversation, Jessica and her bandmate Tyler James will perform a beautiful song off that new album for us. So let's get to it. Welcome to Soul Sisters.
Thank you for having me.
Soul Sister of the day.
Yay.
Like I was telling you before, I saw you guys play in LA, I guess last spring, April? You can't even remember when you played, probably.
I think it was last April.
Yeah,
I think.
Sounds right.
Yeah. We'll just go with it.
Yeah. Who would know but us? Maybe your fans will comment now and be like, what?
That's okay. They can remind me.
Right.
Please remind me all
remind
the time.
Me of what my life is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you guys played at the Echo, and I had never been there before, which is a cool little venue. And you guys filled up that room.
The Echo is good to us. It's such a great place there.
Yeah.
They're really good people running it, and a good community of folks.
Yeah. You can tell when a venue is run by people who just legitimately love music.
Absolutely.
You know?
So true.
Like the way they put the artists together and stuff. You're like, yeah, this makes sense. They actually really
And the way they
through.
Treat you too. Like when you show up and there's actually coffee and water ready for you. or even an orange.
Right. Yeah, what do you need? What's in your rider when you perform somewhere?
Oh, man.
Like green M&Ms?
No. Tyler always asks for... Never mind.
She won't say?
No.
You're not going to call him out?
No, we're simple, you know? We just get trail mix, some, you know, power bars for the road.
Mm-hmm.
We'll ask for guitar picks.
Yeah.
That might be like the most, but, you know, that never happens.
That seems pretty standard. Never happens.
But I always lose them, you know? So it's like, no, I mean, we ask for a bottle of wine, a bullet rye, which is quite nice.
Do you have those on stage with you? The drinks?
I don't. I usually just have water.
Yeah.
But the boys do.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes
sipping that bullet.
I'll have a little bullet before I get on stage. I'll have like a sip.
Yeah. Does it just like take a little edge off?
A little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't want to, you know, used to do it a lot. Now, you know, a little, not as often.
Yeah.
It just, you know, the headache hurts more.
Right. Right. I know in general, have you had to get a little more conservative in your lifestyle?
I think so. Yeah. You know, moving to LA has made me a little bit more concerned.
Yeah.
And all my friends are like, why are you like, Jess, you can't, like, don't go there. Don't go there. And they don't, you know, don't be too extreme with the yoga.
Right.
Like, chill out. But it really is like everything's a balance in life.
That's true.
And so even, you know, when you're on the road, I really try to have, okay, I'm going to have like one night of fun, but I really want to be, you know, have a good voice for the next night and for the next night. I really want to give it my all. And it's hard when you're, you know, putting your body through that.
Yeah. Susan Tedeschi was on the show and she said that the trick for your voice is sleep. She said you can stay up all night, but you have to sleep into the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing your voice cannot do without.
I'm a nightmare if I don't sleep.
Yeah.
And it's not
just like mood wise also.
Yeah, just like mood and energy. And yeah, it's just, and it really does take a lot out of you, because not only are you playing a show, but you're going out and you want to, and you're meeting people, and you're
right,
and you're, you know, hearing them out and talking to them, and you want to get to know your fans and get to know who's coming to your shows.
Mm-hmm. And be present.
And be present with them, yeah. Yeah. And so you're present on stage, but you're present before and after. And so it's really mentally, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. So have you started into the California lifestyle of yoga and riding your bike along the beach and hiking and running canyon?
Yes.
And
all that?
Yeah.
I love it so much.
How long have you been out there for?
I've been kind of back and forth for the past year.
Right. Because you have a nomadic lifestyle.
I do.
Yes.
I have a house in Nashville that I love.
Okay.
And so that's like my home.
Okay.
But LA, I decided to get a place there and just kind of go back and forth. And I've decided to make my life a lot more challenging because I'm never there. So I got to Airbnb it. And so I feel like I'm running like a million businesses at once.
Did you move out there for business reasons? Music?
Yeah, I just kind of needed a change.
Yeah.
I wanted a different pace. And a lot of people are coming to Nashville and just like in swoons and just showing up, and which is great for the city. But I wanted to kind of get out of it a little bit. It's still a small town.
Mm-hmm. Are you from Nashville?
No, I'm from Vancouver.
Okay.
Canada.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a crazy story.
Yeah. Like. Oh, man. Okay. So now I have a lot of questions for you. When did you move to Nashville?
Okay, so...
Or you know what? Let's take it all the way back.
All right.
Let's just go there.
Take it back?
Take it back to Vancouver.
From the beginning?
Yes.
Day one?
Well, let's start with this. When did music start for you? How young were you?
I've always been a singer.
Okay.
And so I would sing in church, and I would sing in musical theater. And
did you study it at all?
No.
Okay.
Vocally, I studied it a little bit. Mm-hmm. I had like a vocal teacher, and I would do piano lessons, but I hated piano. And I was a little bit older. Was probably like 18. I'd always sing. I would sing like the national anthem at like a Grizzlies game.
Really?
When in like the NBA back in the day.
Oh,
that was
so that's a big deal.
I was like 14.
Yeah.
But I never really wrote songs until I got my heart broken.
Mm.
And
then you had the material.
And then I sat by the piano and I started playing some chords, and I'm like, oh, this sucks.
Like, what age was this?
I mean, I must have been 15.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, this is the worst feeling in the world. This guy doesn't like me and it sucks. I remember just like, you know, writing a song about it and feeling just really inspired, and then kind of let it go. And I did a lot of acting. I went to school for theater.
Okay.
And then my first...
You mean in college?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, before we even get there, what did your parents do? Are either of your parents artists?
No, so my parents immigrated from Slovakia.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so I'm first generation North American.
Got it.
So I'm the only English-speaking person in my family.
Really?
And so my dad immigrated, and they all have crazy accents, Eastern European, and strict family, but they're fun.
Uh-huh.
And their musical taste, shall we say, is very... poor.
Yeah.
It's like,
is it just like old world stuff,
polka and old school? But you know, we've always, I as a little girl, I remember having my parents had these parties, and the fiddle would come out and the accordion would come out, so that's kind of where it came into me, where, you know,
yeah, it doesn't always matter the genre.
Yeah,
when you're growing up, just kind of absorbing that, oh, people can have fun just whipping out instruments no matter what they're playing.
Yeah. And they weren't good at it.
Right.
But they just love it so much. And they sing these old kind of village songs.
Uh-huh. That makes sense that they want to keep the culture and that feeling alive.
So that's kind of where it all came from. Maybe.
How did they choose Vancouver? Why did they move?
Well, they moved. They had about 5 cities to choose from.
Okay.
I think it was like Boston, Calgary.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Did they know anybody?
No.
Okay.
No, they just, my dad said that he just heard a lot of good things about Canada in that. And he is an engineer. He was an engineer. And so he wanted to come work in the forestry, like, I don't know, become a mechanical engineer.
Wow. Nice.
So he did it.
Yeah.
But, you know, he has a really crazy story as well where, you know, it wasn't easy for him.
Mm-hmm. And when did your parents meet?
They actually met in Vancouver.
Okay.
Shortly after they both immigrated, and they knew, my dad knew my mom's mom.
Okay.
And so my grandmother was like, Rudy, go pick up my daughter from the airport. And it was still communism. They were refugees, you know, yeah. It was still communism in Slovakia at the time.
Uh-huh.
And so my mom sort of escaped
right. The
country.
Wow.
Met my dad, and 5 hours later, they were like in love, apparently.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So you're told.
Yeah.
Have you ever been back there?
Yeah, I go all the time. I have a lot of family there. And, you know, my parents, we speak it at home. And so I go every second summer. My dream is to play in Slovakia.
Yes, has to happen.
There's a festival there called Pohodje Festival that I just would love to play and speak Slovak over the mic. It would be amazing.
What kind of music is played at that festival?
You know, they're like cool now.
Yeah, okay. They've caught on.
Slovakia's caught on. They never used to be. I remember the first McDonald's there. And
really?
It was like a luxury. It was luxury.
Yeah.
Now it's like malls and mm-hmm. westernized. So sad in a way. But
when it goes too far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then you went to college to study theater, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
where?
In Vancouver,
okay.
Called Capilano College. And during that time, I had a boyfriend who was in a rock band.
Is this a recurring theme
for
your artistic development? Yeah,
this is. Exactly. I'm doomed. Now I've learned my lesson. Don't date, you know.
No, but it seems to serve
field.
You well.
Yeah, it does. And I know.
If you can, you know, you have to suffer for
it's true.
For your fans.
It's true.
Yeah.
Do we really? But
all right, so this boyfriend.
Yeah, this boyfriend. So but he, you know, I guess I was kind of a groupie. I loved rock music so much. I loved it, and he taught me everything.
He was in college with you?
Yeah, and I mean, he got me into Smashing Pumpkins and Radiohead and Jane's Addiction, and that was just like the, you know, at that time, it was just my thing.
Yeah.
And so
he was just in a band, like a college band, basically.
And I would go to his shows and mm-hmm. stuff, and one day I remember being like, I want to pick up the guitar. I can sing too. And I did, and he was like, well, you know, people usually start really young. And I'm like, well, yeah, I know, but I just like it. You know, let me just try. And I pick up the guitar and I'm like playing three chords. It's like a Courtney Love song.
Uh-huh. Nice.
And I just started writing songs. And then my vocal teacher recorded me one day. And then I had a development deal with a record label in Vancouver, and then I was on a plane to Nashville.
But how did that deal come about?
My vocal teacher sent in a tape of my songs to one of the guys there.
Wow.
And I got this weird call one day.
Do you remember where you were?
I was in my kitchen.
Yeah.
At home. And they were like, hey, you know, we think you're cool. And but yeah, so it just kind of went from there. And then I was on a plane to Nashville, and I started, you know, they started pairing me up with songwriters, and I was writing with a bunch of songwriters, and then I fell in love with a songwriter.
Wait, what happened to the college boyfriend? When you picked up the guitar, was he like, well, both of us can't play a guitar, so later. Basically.
It didn't work out. He's still a good friend.
Okay, cool. Good. Okay.
And his band's great, too. He still has a band.
Yeah. In Vancouver?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does he come to your shows
doing
ever?
He's doing pretty yeah? good, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Everyone came out ahead.
Yeah, exactly. He has never seen me play in my band yet.
But maybe he streams your music.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's not out in Canada yet, but it will be.
Oh, really? Oh,
God. Yeah.
So we'll give him a break.
He's got it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So then you went to Nashville. Were your parents like, wait, what are you doing? Or they were like, this is awesome. Like, no. What was that conversation?
They have such a skewed view of the music industry. They have no idea.
Right.
You know, my dad, when he first came to our first club show, he's like, where's your limo? Like, where's the theater? The red velvet seats and the curtains.
Uh-huh.
And, like, you're playing this club show with all these stickers in the back and like gross bathrooms. I'm like, yeah, Dad, it's rock and roll. Like, this is the way it is. And he goes, this isn't my daughter.
Oh, man.
But he does it in a way where, I mean, he's just harsh. He's in.
No, of course.
You know, he.
No, it obviously comes from a good place, but
absolutely.
They have no frame of reference.
No, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they, you know, throughout the years, they're really supportive now. But back then, I mean, they were excited for me. They just want me to be happy.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great.
Yeah.
Is that they don't care what I do.
Right.
They just want me to be happy.
As long as it's working out.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as the van doesn't break down.
Yeah. As long as...
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah. So what year did you go to Nashville?
That was in... 2011.
Okay.
12.
So did you finish college?
I went for like half a year.
Oh, really? Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
Wow. So what was that conversation with your parents like?
They, you know what? They're just cool.
Yeah? They were okay with even that? Okay.
They were, I mean, I'm like a really hard worker. Mm-hmm. And so I think if I was at home baking and sitting around and, I don't know, playing video games or something.
Yeah.
I think they'd be concerned.
Right.
But
the career just kind of came early.
Yeah. I just kind of always have, I'm always doing something. I'm always finding something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so
yeah.
I don't think they're worried.
Yeah. So you got to Nashville. They set you up with other songwriters.
Yeah.
So you're writing songs with them, or they're writing songs for you? What was happening?
Yeah, it was weird because I never, at the time, I didn't know that you could actually have a career just writing songs.
Right, for other people.
For other people.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, this is great.
Uh-huh.
You can do this? Like, I don't have to be the front face, you know, like the person.
Were you not sure that you wanted to be at that point?
I didn't really know. Like, I didn't really grow up with any musicians in my life, so I didn't see how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I wanted to sing.
Yeah.
And I knew I wanted to write. And so I guess it was just I was just taking it all in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is how you write a song. And okay, are we going to write for me? Great. And how do I do that? I don't know. I mean, this is, pull out my book. I felt like this yesterday.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this. I don't know. It was just, you know, it was just a learning thing.
What style were you writing and singing in at that point?
It was more pop rock, but I know the label at the time wanted it to be like Sheryl Crow.
Okay.
Meets Joni Mitchell. It was, you know.
They had a need for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Okay.
They tried to fit me in that box.
Yeah.
And it didn't work.
No?
Well, clearly. I don't know.
No, right.
I was like.
But did you try?
Yeah, I did. I gave it a go and just didn't work. I didn't like it. I didn't love the songs. I'm like, I can't sing this every night.
Yeah. What did you want to be doing?
I wanted more control of the sound.
Yeah.
I found that writing with other people, I was losing myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just enjoyed being alone
mm-hmm.
and writing it alone.
Yeah.
But that was like a quick moment, because then I actually gave up music.
And really?
Got married.
Wait, what?
And started a fashion company.
Seriously? Wow, okay. You just dropped a bomb on me. There's a lot now that I didn't know happened in the last few years. All right, this is great.
So this band is a new thing for me.
Okay. Yeah. So you quit, like you told them, I'm out. This isn't working for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And did you marry that songwriter?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
And then what was the plan? You didn't know.
The plan was, I didn't know. I was just really in love and,
yeah,
you know, just kind of became a wife.
Yeah.
Really. And, but then that kind of became old, and then I wanted to be somebody. And so I started sewing and then started a company.
Wow.
And so.
Was fashion a thing that, like, was also a part of your brain for a long time?
I had no idea it existed.
Okay.
Until I was just bored one day and I was knitting.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, wouldn't it be cool to knit a dress? And then I'm like, wouldn't it be cool to sew? I wonder what it'd be like. And then I took a sewing class, and then I started making my own clothes. And then I was around musicians, so a lot of my friends were like, what are you wearing? That's so cool. And then that led to make my dress for the Country Music Awards, and I'm like,
what?
Okay. And then make my wedding dress. Okay. And then it just went down this path of like, whoa, I'm now a sewer.
Right.
Like, I'm now
So you were making everything?
Mm-hmm.
And you were just like selling it to friends or people that you met? You weren't selling in stores or anything?
I eventually then started selling in stores.
Really?
Yeah. And I had a company called Sleeveless. And it was only jewelry and stuff, but huge kind of big pieces. Now they're kind of in, but back then,
yeah,
those huge, like, they never really existed.
Uh-huh.
And I would do things for, like, Prince. I made, like, his whole collection for a tour once.
What?
It was super cool. Oops. Sorry. It was really, really cool. And then, but it got to be really exhausting.
Mm-hmm. So you actually like formed a company and went through all the...
had like a store and, you know, had a little mini manufacturing company behind the store.
Okay.
And just hired people, like taught them how to sew with me. It was cool.
How long did that go on for?
That was like 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And no music during this time for you?
You know, I was like a closet singer.
Yeah.
So I kind of let my man at the time be the musician.
Yeah.
And
did you feel conflicted about it, or you just kind of put it out of your mind?
I felt conflicted about it. I was like missing it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because I was around all these musicians, and I always felt like I'm one of you, but you don't know it.
Right.
It was weird.
Yeah.
I kind of always felt like in the background that I should be there, and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And I was almost like stepping on my talent, like
right.
this thing that was given to you, you know, and you're almost like avoiding it.
Yeah. Do you think that part of it is that when you were trying to do that songwriting before and they were trying to put you into a hole that didn't fit, that you took that more personally than you should have, that you felt like that was like you having shortcomings as opposed to that just wasn't the right fit for you?
I think it was just like my situation, everything all at once, you know, you don't know who you are yet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who you want to be.
Right.
And then you're trying to listen to other people, but you deep down inside who you should be listening to is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was avoiding that. I didn't want to hear, because I already knew.
Yeah.
But I knew that that lifestyle, maybe the people around me wouldn't like it.
Right.
So I was trying to make other people happy.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, at this point, how old are you in the story?
Old enough.
Old. No, but I'm saying, like, I think a lot of people don't.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in general, your 20s is all about learning how to listen to yourself. Yeah, exactly. And you often don't know for that whole decade.
Totally.
You know?
That whole, honestly, like, I had no idea. I was trying. I was just really influenced by other people.
Yeah.
So, and, you know.
But yeah. How did the music come back then? What was the turning point?
I had a lot of things, a lot of change happen. I was just unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm married too young.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of left everything behind.
Yeah.
And started again.
Did you leave Nashville?
No, stayed in Nashville. I left the relationship.
Uh-huh.
I left my business and I kind of started a clean slate. And I'm like, okay, it's time to do what I'm supposed to be doing.
That sounds scary as hell, but also very liberating.
It was the scariest thing.
Yeah.
I was at the point where I'm like, okay, even if I'm going to have to be a waitress again.
Right.
And, you know, clean the floors. I don't know. Not that I'm saying that's bad, because I actually enjoyed being a waitress. I actually love talking to people and stuff. But
I think everyone should do it at some
yeah,
point.
It's so important.
Yeah.
I mean, and it happens any moment in your life. You never know. You could lose it all.
Mm-hmm.
And I did.
So, yeah. And it's good to know that you can survive that.
Absolutely.
To learn that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you have a good support group around you of people who are supporting you while you were going through that? Or were people
so
like, what
lucky.
The hell are you doing?
I had a lot of people really support me.
Okay.
And I have like only a few friends, and they're the ones, I don't have like a lot of friends, but the ones that they are amazing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I slept on a couch for like half a year at my friend's house.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, you're not leaving me until you're ready.
That's awesome.
So it's pretty, pretty cool to have those people in your life.
Yeah. And in Nashville, you kind of have the space to do that. In New York,
exactly.
Even your best friend would murder you after like
totally.
1 week on their couch.
Totally.
Like, I'm tired of climbing over you to get to the bathroom.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
No.
I would go crazy.
Yeah. So then what was the next step musically for you?
So then a girlfriend of mine, she was like, Jessica, she was a big catalyst musically for me, because she would sit down and go, you have an insane and a unique voice. Why aren't you doing this?
Yeah.
Sit down and write with me. And she was like, play guitar. And the way she would say it, I'd be like, okay, you know, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. And I just would start playing these songs, and we would just sit and write. And then one day she called me up. She's like, can you come over to my friend's house? His name's Tyler, and he's recording a Christmas song for me. I'd love for you to sing on it. I'm like, okay. So I show up, and I'm singing this Christmas song, and then she kind of goes, Jess, play him Rodeo Queen. Play him that song. Playing that song you wrote. And I'm like, okay, all right. So here I am, I'm like singing this song, and that minute Tyler stops what he's doing. He's like mid Christmas world. And he stops what he's doing, and he goes to his keyboard, opens up a new session, lays down this like synth keyboard thing, and starts creating the track for it. And then that night I walk away with like a recorded demo of the song.
Whoa.
And I remember putting it in my car and going, oh my gosh, I mean, I've spent so many years before, or like writing with probably every single person in Nashville.
Yeah.
A lot of people. And for the first time, I really felt that this person got the sound of the song and the mood of the song and the atmosphere, and like kind of really my voice, it really sounded good with my voice, whatever he was doing.
Yeah. You guys had never met before?
I heard of him.
Okay.
I had heard of him around town, because
uh-huh.
he was like a solo artist, and he used to wear this headband. And so I remember seeing like posters of him around
like,
town.
Like a sweatband?
Like a sweatband, yeah. He would wear like this sweatband, and he was kind of like the guy that started the sweatband. And I remember seeing his name, and we've our path our paths crossed so many times because we had the same producer at one point.
Okay.
But we never really, really met until that one night.
Wow. And then you guys were like, well, this is meant to be.
It was kind of, my friend called, you know, the next day, she calls me up. She's like, you need to get him to do your record. And then she calls him up. I didn't know about this, but then she calls him up and she's like,
I love this like professional matchmaking.
Yeah. She's like, you guys need to work together. And so, you know, Tyler called me up and we started, you know, making demos and writing songs. And then one day he takes me to a coffee shop and he's like, hey, do you want to start a band? And I'm like, wow, no one's ever wanted me to be in a band before. I've always like, you know, kind of created my own thing or been my own band. And I remember like I had flashbacks of high school, like being in the band room and being like, can I sing? And I'm like, no, boys only. No, but yeah. I was just like, would sit there and I'd be like, man, I just really want to be in a band. And then, I mean, flashback to that moment, I'm like, wow, yeah.
Had he been looking for somebody too?
He just got off the road. He was in Edward Sharp and played keys for them for the year.
Oh, cool.
And so he got off the road and he did a solo thing forever, for a long time. And I think he was just looking for a change and he liked the mentality of being in a group.
Yeah.
I think with Edward Sharp. So he was like, yeah, I want to start something different and I'd love to be in a band with you.
Cool.
And he already had the name. So
really?
I was like, yeah. And it just happened to fit exactly the vibe, like of the whole sound.
Uh huh. So were you like, okay, I happen to already have all these songs written?
I had a lot of songs written when I met him.
Yeah.
And they were all like haunting and dark and we write really differently. I usually like to start it and start it on my own and I'll demo it myself and then I'll send it to him.
Okay.
And then he'll add to it and then we'll get together and we'll make like a work tape of it.
Okay.
And then when we go into record, we'll have live instruments and stuff. But we usually have, you know, a ton of demos before we go into record.
So how did the first album happen?
The first album, it was just like so fresh and just kind of spontaneous. And we didn't really know what was going to happen with it. We were like, we love this. We love the sound. We just love it. And so, but we didn't have a lot of money to like go into the studio and do like a 2-week thing.
Right.
So we did work tapes of all the songs. And then.
Had you recorded an album before?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's my first record ever.
Yeah.
And then so Tyler kind of coordinated and got the band together. Really talented musicians in Nashville. And then basically went in one day and tracked the entire record live. And we did like three takes of each song.
Oh my God.
So we got in. And the coolest thing about it is my best friend Talia was there. Leanne, who introduced us, was there. And so like, you know, and my best friend, we've always done art together since we were like 13 years old. She's always taken footage of me and has always been in my life. And she was there taking photos of the thing. And now to this day, like, she's our main girl. She does all our photos for the band and artwork. And but that day was really special. It was like our drummer had a show that night at like 11 o'clock. So here we are like power throwing these songs.
And like then, how many hours total?
I mean, I don't know, like, let's see, from 11 till 10.
Yeah. And that was it. It was done.
Yeah, it was done. But then afterwards, Tyler had to go in and like cut up. He was working, you know, making it sound good.
Right.
Whatever.
And then you listened to it and you were like, yeah, we're a band.
I mean, I'm like, okay, I'm happy with this, you know. It's all right. I mean,
I'll say it. It's a very fully formed album. I mean, you guys clearly right away had your sound and fit perfectly together. It's crazy that it was your first album and that it was done that quickly to have come out that polished. It's amazing. Yeah.
I think a lot has to do with Nashville.
Yeah.
And the musicians being just so good there.
That they're just ready to go.
They're ready to go and they're like on point. And I think they really live to be put on the spot.
Uh-huh.
Because they're so good that if they overwork themselves, they're just, it's going to have... not it's gonna lack emotion. And I think the quality to that record is that everyone evoked an emotion that day because they didn't really know the music. And so if you don't know the music, I think you're kind of like, it's a challenge. And so you have to base it between, I mean, I'm just guessing for them, but for me personally, you're like going back and forth between emotion and then skill.
Did you play guitar on that album?
I didn't.
Okay.
No, I'm like, I love guitar for me. Now I'm way better than before. But I'm consider myself just a songwriter. So I like it for writing songs.
Yeah.
Now I'm, you know, doing solos on stage.
Right.
Which, for like three notes.
And then a drum solo.
And then a drum solo.
Who are your guys' musical touchstones? Like, did you talk about that before you went in and recorded that album? Especially because of the duets. Like, it makes me think a lot about, like, Graham Parsons and Emmylou and that kind of stuff.
You know, I just started getting into Emmylou and Graham Parsons.
Really?
So, and, I would get a lot of Mazzie Star too. Everyone's always comparing my voice to her, which I love. I don't really know. Like, Tyler, for me, we had a love of, like, old Western films.
Okay.
So we would just sit and listen to soundtracks.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Ennio Morricone kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And he plays the trumpet. And so, and it's fascinating because, like, I keep thinking about it over and over again. I'm like, my Eastern European culture, there's a lot of kind of that gypsy feeling.
Yeah.
And the trumpet kind of, for me, evokes that in a way of that gypsy life.
Right.
And, but I think the sound is like this just very desert, and it feels distant, it feels heart-wrenching, and like kind of like this longing. It's like living in this longing. I don't know what I'm talking about, but
no, that's cool, because you know the genre could be described as a kind of Americana thing, but then when you describe it that way, it's like, right, this is not just a purely American emotion.
It's through all cultures.
And even if you're talking about Westerns, really, that's very much, in a way, like an immigration story of going from the East to the West, which was not an established culture or civilization yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense that you tie it together. That's cool. So when the album was finished, what was the next move?
Wow. Well, I didn't know anything about the music industry.
Yeah.
So
right, so you have it, and then...
I have it, I'm like, what do we do with it?
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler really, you know, he was doing it for a year, so I learned a lot from him. And it was great, because I'm like, I'm a businesswoman. I also love the business side of things, and so I would go, and we would just really work together. We were like, okay, well, what do we do next? Well, we need to promote it. Well, okay, so... you know, we're going to invest. I'm going to invest this amount, and let's get a publicist. Okay, let's see what we can do. That sounds good. And we started with a publicist. And then from there, you know, it just kind of formed into our own label.
Wow.
And so we've been doing it on our own ever since. And all aspects of it, you know.
It's booking?
We now have a booking agent.
Okay, good.
But in the beginning, we did have to go and book our own shows. We booked our own West Coast tour.
Wow.
I mean, we did it all. And then slowly, we got our booking agent when we did Conan.
Oh, really?
So we still didn't have a booking agency when we...
You got yourselves on Conan?
Yeah.
How?
I mean, it was just like a combination of a ton of things all at once. But we were in a magazine. We were in Garden and Gun. And then... our publicist, I was like, I want to do late night.
Yeah.
She's like, Jess, it's not happening. I'm like, Monica, let's do it. Like, come on, I want to try. Can we not try? She's like, Jess, like, no one's seen you guys live. Like, really? I'm like, come on, we can do it. Why not? Let's just give it a try.
Yeah.
And it was a combination of, like, you know, they saw our article, and then our music was being played in Nashville, and then, you know, we just kind of finagled our way in there.
Wow.
Without him seeing us play.
That's crazy.
Which is, you know, but an owner of a club, Grimey's, in Nashville, kind of vouched for us and said,
To the Conan Booker. Okay.
Like, they're great live.
And then how did you feel about that performance on the show?
It was the first time I play guitar.
Like, wow. Live. So I was like, you know what I'm going to start? When there's millions of people watching. This is the moment.
But I got to, you know, and I, the cool thing was, the first thing, I'm like, what am I going to wear? And I remember seeing.
No stylist.
Yeah, no stylist. Did my own makeup. But I, no, I saw this outfit in a vintage store, and it was an old Manuel one-piece suit kind of thing, jumpsuit. And Manuel is like a famous for making, you know, Gram Parsons suits,
yeah,
and like the rhinestone Nashville, right, stuff. And it was for a man, this jumpsuit. So I took it apart, reworked it.
That is and
made
badass.
It, and made like this electric blue jumpsuit.
Oh my god.
And it was a little ridiculous. I mean, it's all the so YouTube cool. comments are like, what is she wearing? Is this like, what, we back in
the 70s?
Of course
they are. What else do people comment on? The music? No.
Yeah, no. It was good. It was really, really nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
It could have been, I had a moment where I'm like, this could be the last time I ever make music.
Make or break moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But it went okay,
it
obviously.
Went good. It yeah. went good. We're still alive.
Exactly.
We're still here.
Survived and thrived. Was there any noticeable effect of having played on Conan afterwards?
You know, it used to be that way, but no.
Yeah.
It's just tough.
I know. Well, because, like, not everyone's watching the same thing anymore.
Not everyone's watching, and it's just tough.
Yeah.
You know, we've had a lot of really great things, that platforms,
mm-hmm,
but I don't know, to keep people there. And I think because we're also our own label, we have a harder time reminding people.
Right.
Because there's so much noise.
Yeah.
And so we really, I think it's a marketing thing.
Totally.
And
And you seem naturally good at that kind of thing, but at the same time, you only have so much time.
Yeah, when you're trying to get to a show, and
right,
you're, you know, you're trying to figure out your next step, and
yeah,
trying to afford to buy vinyl. I mean, there's so much. There's so
the simple
much.
Needs.
Yeah, but you know, you do what you can. You can only do what you can. And
yeah,
the rest is, like, it's not really up to you.
Right.
You
know? Just got to do the hustle.
But when you're competing with people that have the finances to have big billboards and have, like, marketing team behind them,
mm-hmm,
you know, it's like, how, as an independent band, how can we, and we didn't really want to be an independent band. We're just kind of forced to.
Right.
I feel like musicians now have to be.
Yeah. I mean, it's a double-edged sword, right? Because at least then you have some control and freedom. No one's,
yeah,
telling you what to do.
Totally.
But
and then it's also then you are so unique, mm-hmm, that you don't fit anywhere. So that's a fear thing.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Right.
You know, harder to.
I mean, how do you describe yourselves when you're trying to describe your genre or whatever?
I mean, I would say, I mean, we talk a lot about desert rock.
Okay.
And we kind of created our own genre in
That's
a way.
Good. No, we like to ask everybody this on the show because it's helpful to be able to describe yourself a certain way or align yourself with other people, just so people kind of get that right away. But
yeah,
at the same time, I think most artists always feel like it doesn't quite get there.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite describe it right.
I mean, I understand the whole genre thing. We need it. But at the same time, when you're a mixture of a lot, which,
yeah,
music is becoming more and more.
Totally.
How, I think it's kind of cool that you can create your own genre.
It is. And it's not like you're struggling to like try to get onto a radio station that's only playing one kind of genre, because who's even listening to that anymore?
I mean, times are changing. Yeah. What if genres don't exist anymore? I don't know.
Genre is dead.
Yes.
Declaring it here. Yeah. Wait, so what would you call it?
Desert rock.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, I think Fleetwood Mac is desert rock,
mm-hmm.
and Mazzy Star.
Yeah.
And I think there's a ton of people. Calexico.
Yeah.
What
makes something desert rock? You feel like you're in the desert.
I think someone asked me this the other day, like, what makes it desert?
Yeah.
And
because I know what you mean, but now I'm trying to articulate it in my head.
I think it's like a lot of minor chords.
Okay.
Things that sound distant and dark. And then
it is kind of that like spaghetti western.
Yeah. And then, like an acoustic guitar that just kind of like that Mexican style.
Yeah.
Like acoustic guitar, and then a trumpet, or even we have pedal steel.
Mm-hmm.
Our guitar player uses actually a B bender thing on his guitar and makes it sound like a pedal steel.
Oh, wow.
And pedal steel is like such a beautiful instrument. And every time we put pedal steel, it's like, oh, it's country. But no, it's just an added twang that.
Right.
Which makes it Western to me.
Yes.
And there's a difference between country and Western.
Western. Mm-hmm. Right. So how did the second album happen then?
So the second one took a little bit longer.
Uh-huh.
we decided to, again, we're always battling between, saving up everything to be able to afford to do what we can.
Right.
Sonically.
Yeah.
So
I feel like we should say the new album just came out, right?
Yes.
Yes. Walking with a Stranger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Came out like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. And it's real good. Check it out, guys.
Thank you.
So you took your time, you gathered the resources.
Yeah. Yeah. We took our time with this one. We're always writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler, we recorded it in his bedroom.
Okay.
And the drums in the studio.
But you were out in LA writing these songs?
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of would go back and forth, in and out. But I spent most of my time in LA during this time.
Yeah.
While Tyler was kind of tracking and working, he played all the instruments on it.
Okay.
Most of it. And
is it harder to write when you guys are that far apart?
We were together every single day for the first half of the first record.
Yeah.
So being away was just really good for us.
Yeah.
We needed, I needed it for me to go, who am I again? I don't want to be codependent, and you kind of have to be.
Totally.
When you're in a band.
Yeah.
So I really wanted to go to LA and just live on the edge.
Yeah. No, like return to yourself.
Which I'm sure helps
your songwriting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it really did.
Cool.
And so... yeah, I would send it to him, and we would do that whole thing again through email.
Uh-huh.
And then, we really wanted to have a bigger sound with this one.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't want to be so tailored to the desert sound. I think there's, a song for everyone on this record. We've got, the ballad, and we've got, a pop. Whatever.
Yeah.
A pop song.
Desert pop.
I don't know. But it's edgy, and I don't know. I really like it.
Cool. So you guys were just touring.
Yeah.
And you survived.
Nine shows in a row.
And what's next? Now you get a little breather?
Oh, my goodness. We have a week off, and then we go to South by Southwest.
Oh, wow. Cool. Have you guys played there before?
Yes.
Okay.
But this is our first official showcase.
Nice.
So we're playing at the Parish.
Cool.
Yeah. 1 a.m. should be fun.
Really?
Yeah.
How are you at 1 a.m.?
Oh, I don't know. I have no idea. We'll see.
Yeah. How do you prepare for that? Take a nap at 9?
I don't know. I've never played that late before.
Yeah.
We're about to find out.
Yeah.
But we'll be, hopefully our outfits make it. I made these outfits on this last run.
Do you make them for Tyler too?
Yeah, I'll kind of buy something or like dye his pants. He wears like these mariachi pants. Nice. And I like dyed them for him. But after 9 shows in a row, you know, you don't have time for dry cleaning on their hands.
They get a little funky.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I want them to last for South By, but I have like beads falling off of it. And it's so sad. Like clothes get beat up even more.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we get pretty beat up too.
Clothes and bodies and minds and voices.
Yeah, voices.
Everything takes a toll.
Yeah.
Tell me if this is true, this thing that I read, that you guys wrote one of the songs for Marnie and Desi on Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah.
Because we used to do a girls podcast when I was with The Hollywood Reporter.
No way.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about Marnie and Desi and those songs and like what we would imagine is the challenge of making a song that's intentionally kind of bad, but still like you see that they're talented, but it kind of like drives you insane at the same time.
Well, we're about to find out how it turned out, because
it's in this season.
Yeah, it's in this season.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. And it was a really cool experience. The title was already written.
Okay. Like they gave you the title?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lena Dunham gave us the title. She had.
So how did you hook up with her?
So the guy that does the music supervision of the show, his name's Manish Raval, super talented.
The music is always so on point for that show.
He's so good. I know. He just kind of threw, hey, let's get Escondido to try to.
He was
right
just a fan.
Moment.
Yeah. You guys. Cool.
Yeah. And they gave us the chance to try to write it.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny because they asked for like a honky tonk song. And I don't know how much I should give away, but I won't give away too much. But yeah, it's called Oaxaca Blues.
Okay.
And
so they gave you the title and they said it should be kind of honky tonk.
Yeah. And the process is funny because Tyler had one idea, and so we did his idea, and then I'm like, I feel like they need something a little bit more upbeat and up tempo, so I like just quickly recorded something on my iPhone, and then I'm like, let's just send them both, and it was really interesting. So like, oh, like the iPhone version one,
really?
Let's do that. So funny, like you just never know, you know.
Yeah.
You can like create this masterpiece full-on production song and then you just send in a vocal on a phone,
yeah,
on an iPhone, and just it, you know, shows you that nothing matters,
right? It's true. Or that like if the music is good,
yeah,
then people can hear it regardless of production. So Allison Williams will be singing your part.
Yeah
That's
it's
cool.
Good.
Do you know
it's...
what episode?
Oh man, I think I'd be lying if I
it's
told
fine.
You. No idea.
We'll know it when we hear it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very cool. All right. So what song are you guys playing for us today? Do you know?
I don't. I'm
you guys gonna,
have
gonna
to,
confer?
We might have to talk about it first. I don't
know. Something from the new album.
Are you craving something slow, or is there something you want to hear?
I would like to hear something newer since I saw you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
So.
Okay.
Well, something to tease a new album maybe.
All right.
For
people. We'll do that.
All right. Awesome. All right.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're Escondido, and this song is called Apartment.
Night moves in your apartment. I'm getting ready now. We've got the radio on. Pictures of your apartment. Things were steady, no worries anyhow. We could do no wrong. Yeah, we could do no wrong. Ooh, I'm walking with a stranger. He even knows like it with a stranger. Pictures in your basement, that leather jacket looked real good on you. We were going strong. Yeah, we were going strong. I've been dreaming of your apartment. Do you remember this girl that you once knew? We had the radio on. Yeah, we were singing along. Ooh, I'm walking with a stranger.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.